Okay, we're back in Psalm chapter 119, and we've been looking at our last lesson. We're taking a few weeks for this. The influence of the Bible in our life, and that's what Psalms talks about. Psalm 119 talks about many aspects of the Bible, but the biggest thing the Bible does is it influences our lives. We said so far in this particular message, this particular topic, that God's word is eternal and unchanging. We looked at that. And then last time we were together, we looked at love for God's word leads to time in God's word. Now, let's look at number three tonight. And this is vitally important that we understand this, because there's a battle going on for truth and right and philosophies and so forth. And so we need to understand this. Wisdom is tied to the knowledge of the word, not the knowledge of the world. Wisdom is tied to knowledge of the word, not knowledge of the world. We're going to look at a set of three verses tonight, verse 98 through verse 100. Let's look at this. It says, Thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for my testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. We need to understand that understanding, knowledge, and wisdom should be measured by our comprehension of the word and not our involvement in this world. What we understand about what's, when we talk about understanding what's going on in this life and knowledge and wisdom, it's not about what we know from this world. It's about what we comprehend and understand from God's word. Wisdom, this is 3 years ago when we started Proverbs. Wisdom is not a result of our IQ. You can have a high IQ and you may understand things, but that does not make you wise. Because if wisdom is about IQ, the majority of us here would be in a lot of trouble, okay? You may not be good at memorizing things. You may have got through school with straight C's, but that's not the big thing. Wisdom is not tied to IQ. You know, well, my child's brilliant. They're just smart. That doesn't mean they're going to be wise. Okay? What's that verse? I forget. I think it's in Job. Great men are not always wise. And that's true. Wisdom is not a result of one's training. Daniel was wise, but Daniel was not wise because he was forced into the godless training in Babylon. In fact, he had to overcome that. It was because he was committed to God's word. Wisdom is not a result of one's schooling. The greatest knowledge we can have is a knowledge of God's word. The sad thing is, many of us chase the wisdom of this world. We want to be accepted by society in general. And so we learn things. We put ourselves in we know more about what's going on in this world than we do know about the word of God. There's a danger inherent in that. Look at Colossians chapter number 2, verses 6 to 8. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How did we receive Christ Jesus, Lord? By faith. So we walk by faith. Faith is a complete trust and reliance on God apart from our own thinking. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therewith with thanksgiving. So we walk by faith and we're rooted. Our faith is strong and we're grounded and we're not unstable Christians. That's not how we're supposed to be. Because we were taught that way from the word of God. But then he gives the admonishment to be careful. Verse 8, beware lest thou any man spoil you through philosophy. Spoil would mean like capture. You spoil an enemy in war. Lest any man spoil you through philosophy, the belief systems of this unsaved world, and vain deceit, empty lies, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You see, if you're a Christian, you are in a mental battle each and every day. Everything outside of the Bible, everything outside of your time in church, your time doing spiritual things. And I know everything in your life is spiritual if you're a Christian. It should be. But outside of those things, we fight a battle of the mind. And Satan tries to spoil or capture us or ruin our Christian faith. Now, sometimes we think that when he wins, he's got someone down in the gutter and they're on alcohol, they're on the bottle, or they're on drugs or addicted to some nonsense, and Satan's got them. But more often than not, Satan tries to get us up here. He tries to get strongholds of wrong, unscriptural thinking into our life, so that when push comes to shove and decisions need to be made, we make the decisions based on those thoughts and not the principles of God's word. And so we need to be careful. We're spoiled. I think the statement's in your notes. Most Christians, if they are honest, are discipled more by the world than they are by the word. If we're just being honest here. You know, when someone's a disciple, they're learning about Christ and growing in their faith, and they're learning what he wants in the word of God. And we'll look at this Sunday morning, how if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, truly. But if the average Christian is honest, what we think, what we feel, our views on life are more developed by the discipleship of the world. I always say, Satan is the best discipler in this world. If Satan, and this sounds weird, but bear with me. If Satan were a Christian, this whole world might just be saved. He's really good at selling nonsense. You know, they say sometimes, you know, this guy's such a good salesman, he could sell snow to an Eskimo. Satan probably could, because he's so deceptive. Now, we need to be careful. I'm going to say a few things, and I'm not trying to be mean, but I want you to understand what I say. And by the way, we're to teach the truth. And by the way, the truth isn't just throwing out a Bible verse, although everything we do is biblically principled. But you know, in the early days of our country, it's funny when they always say, you know, our country was not, they were by a bunch of atheists, which isn't true. But it used to be that in the early days of our country, when there was a strong Christian foundation, if there was something going on in the world or in the society, they ran to the church to see what the Bible and the pastor had to say about it. They wanted to find out what God said about this issue. By the way, the first Bible printed in this country was printed by an act of Congress. Okay? You understand that. We understood the importance. Now, if you say anything about what's going on in the world, you're being, you know, all this. No, we need to understand this. Now, bear with me. We tend, because we're more discipled by the world than we are by the word, we have more respect for educational institutions of the world than the truth of the word. Okay? Got to be very careful about that. I'm not against learning to make you better in your job and all those different things. But it crosses over very easily now and quickly to philosophy of life. And the institutions of this world are not teaching the truth of the word. Now again, if you're new or you don't understand this, I'm not bashing you, but I feel duty bound to say the truth. We willingly send off our kids to godless institutions and wonder why their faith fails. The school systems of our government have not gotten better, they have gotten worse. They're nothing more than bastions of political stupidity. Okay? I'm just being honest here. The battle for our country, and I think spiritually speaking, is lost. Now, I'm not being negative, because that means there's a lot of opportunity to win people to the Lord. But I'm talking about the direction and where we're going. we're already been down the wrong road way too long. And as I've studied for Revelation, it's like, I understand these are the end times. So I don't say that out of just, you know. But you know where that battle for our country was? Now, it doesn't mean in the early days when we say our church, our country was a Christian country that everybody went to church. But there was a lot more morality and a lot of people did. And our founding fathers and our government leaders, although they may not have been Christians, Thomas Jefferson was not a Christian. But he believed in the values of the Bible and understood that a society that did not have those biblical morality was doomed. But when they kick God and through the Bible and prayer out of our school system, that's when the battle was lost. Although not everybody was saved, there was a little bit of common sense. If we could travel back in time and go to any institution and say, you know what, today I identify as a girl, there is nobody that would have accepted that. We were taught that. Okay? That was in our school set. They kicked God out. And you say, well, why doesn't God do something about all the stuff that's going on in our schools, all the bad things? Because we kicked them out 55, 60 years ago. We booted them out. We said, God, we don't want you. In case you're a little older, younger now, you don't understand this. Do you know back in our public school systems, they used to start the day with a Bible passage and prayer. Those days are long gone. He's been kicked out. The majority of our Christian young people are schooled in our godless, evolutionary teaching, immorality approving, government-run institutions, and then we wonder why over 90% of them walk away from church immediately after they step out of their home. Immediately. And I know parents, and some, and I have relatives, I'll be honest with you. It's like they were Christians quasi. And it's like, what happened to my kid? You raised them in a government-run education where God was mocked on a regular basis, where evolution was pushed, where if you said you were a Christian, you were targeted by the teachers. Okay, don't go quiet on me. And we wonder why they walk away from their faith, where every kind of perversion in this world is promoted. 25 years ago, when I was singles director, we had some in our singles group that were going to Cal State. This is 25 years ago. And some of the things they told me about going on in their classrooms were reprehensible. That was 25 years ago. Things have gotten way worse since then. But we willingly send our kids off to that. We need to be careful. We regularly fill our minds with godless philosophies that are spewed out through television screens, devices, and social media. Be very careful what you watch. I mentioned before in one of the services, you know, I'm a father and I have daughters. So I've watched things with them that have tested my masculinity. Not Barbie, we're not doing that. But I watched Anna Green Gables with the girls before. Okay? You know, there's a new version of Anna Green Gables out where everybody's gay, transgendered. That's on purpose. It had nothing to do with the story. It had nothing to do in the time frame in which that story was written. That's social engineering. Okay? You know, and I get these emails, and one of them is, you know, a while ago, is Johnson & Johnson. They're showing a family doing their baby, and it's two ladies. It's on purpose. It's on purpose. Social engineering. We allow unfettered access to the garbage of this world and the influence of others on our cell phones, tablets, computers, social media. You say, what's this have to do with the point? This is the point. Point is, we got to take the principles the Bible's talking about being wise. We got to be careful that we're not being combated by that which isn't there. And I'll say this, and none of you listen to me. Some of you do. Teens don't need cell phones. Pastor used to say this, and I'm like, man, Pastor, you say that all the time. Now I do the talking. Whenever there's a problem in the office between kids, there's a cell phone, a tablet, or internet's involved. Always. Always. And I know, you know, and by the way, I know what some of you used to say. Well, you know, Pastor's not very technological, and he wasn't, but I am. I had a computer in the early days. Okay? Well, I remember when iPads came out, I thought, that's stupid. It's just an oversized telephone. And my son, Steven, I think he was in high school, and he decided that he would buy these for people and sell them for like $200 profit. He was doing pretty good. He was sitting in the house one day. I'm like, let me see that. He had bought one. He was going to sell it. And I started messing with it, and I'm like, you're not selling this one. This one's mine. Like, this could be useful. I mean, I remember Pete Palm Pilot. How many remember Palm Pilots? I love that thing. I had like this emotional attachment to it. I thought it was a piece of plastic, and the screen wasn't black. It wasn't even black and white. It was like gray. But I just thought that was the neatest thing in the world. I could, you know, the little plastic thing, and you could play Galaxa on it too. That was kind of neat. But it was, I thought that was, so I know technology. I use it. I also know the dangers of it. And is a cell phone wrong? No, but young people aren't very good at being able to handle it. We need to be very careful. And I know, you say, well, okay, you got past that one. Let's move on. They need limits on computer and tablets. By the way, whenever we have a kid, I'm not being mean, please bear me out. Whenever we have a kid that gets involved in any type of like pornography, there's always a tablet involved. It's always a phone involved. Always. And by the way, parents, and I know technology, but I'm sure my kids know it a little bit better than me. They throw the wool over your eyes. So I'm saying we got to be careful, because all this comes at us. And that is where that stuff's getting in their minds, and that is training them more than the Word of God is training them. That's the problem. That's why it's like, listen, you earn a phone. When you graduate from high school, and you can, like our kid, I never let them, and this isn't a good or bad thing if you want to do it. I was just probably cheap with the insurance. I didn't let our kids get a license until they were 18. I just didn't want to pay the insurance, amen? And I didn't want to see a lot of dings on my car. But I realized something. Even at 18, insurance is still high, and they still ding the car. Okay? But it's like, you know, I just, whatever we got to make sure. The saddest thing is that when we allow our teens access to all of this stuff, and then when they have problems, and this is what kills me, we blame the church and the school. School's fault. I didn't give them a phone. We didn't give them a tablet. Do you know that we always teach us, and it's true, by the way, the church, the home, and the school all work together. We all ought to be on the same page. But the church and the school cannot overcome the home. The home is the greatest influence that they will ever have. Now, in some cases, if a kid is completely committed to God, with that help, they can get through maybe a bad home situation. So if you maybe have a bad home situation, don't think you know. But it's like, listen, it's always the church's fault. It's always, and so what we do is we get mad and we pull them out of that. Now they're somewhere else getting even more godless influence, instead of working together to say, by the way, kids do something wrong, that can be fixed. Okay, it's not fatal. I've had kids in my office, they did things, and it's like, listen, here's the rule, here's the punishment. You have to get this, but you know what? I believe that you can get over this. It's a blip on the radar screen. It's not your destination. Okay, but we got to work together on that. But let's be very careful. If you ask any Christian who feels semi-committed to God, we'll kind of move on from there. They will tell you of their love for the Bible, how much they believe it. Everybody will tell you. I've never heard a Christian like, hey, do you love the Bible? No. You know, no, we all love the Bible. But if we boil it down and find out their views on life, most really have a secular worldview, not a biblical worldview. Now, what I mean by that is, here's what worldview means. Ready? This is really, I'm smart. It means how we view the world. Isn't that brilliant? A worldview is how we view the world. A secular worldview means we view the world like the unsaved people do. And by the way, that's, I get it. They don't know God. I get that. Not saying I like it, but I get it. But we don't have a biblical worldview. We don't view the world from the lens of Scripture. We don't take what's going on in the world and say, what does God say about that? I wonder how a Christian is supposed to react to that. You know, I was at the dentist the other day. Dr. Danette. She's great. And she's a Christian, and I was in the chair, you know. It's funny, they always want to talk to you when they got like 12 things in your mouth. So how would you handle that? You know, suck that stuff out, I'll tell you. But there was something going on. She goes, that's a struggle for me. You probably, how are you supposed to handle that as a Christian? I'm like, you know, cut me a 50% discount and I'll tell you exactly what you're supposed to do. But we got to look at how are we supposed to do that? In other words, okay, what we believe about what is going on in our society is formulated by what we are hearing from society, not what we have learned from God's word. If we just, and by the way, I understand the pressures. The world kind of just pushes you, doesn't it? You know, you ever talk to, and we have interaction with someone, say person, they just tell you, and especially when I worked in the world, they'll tell you some off-the-wall belief they say, and you don't want to argue or fight with them, so you don't say anything, right? But sometimes they say, you know, blah, 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 right? And I'm like, well, I'm not going to say right. You really want my view on that? I mean, I'm going to be honest here if you really want my view. Not going, no. Everything from what we believe about morality, our political views, not one party or another, I'm just saying, our views on life in general should all be founded in what God says. But typically they're not. I often say this to myself, I guess. Our country could really change around in like a week if everybody who claimed to be a Christian actually lived like one, voted like one, and acted like one. Could you imagine if some company like Target, that's my beef, not yours. I don't go there anymore. And to be honest with you, I miss it. They had good stuff because they let anybody in the bathroom. But it was just 2 weeks ago, a guy went in there and went into a stall with a girl, closed the door. Now, fortunately, she was able to get out. But the store clerk couldn't say nothing when this guy walked in. But just imagine if Target did that, and we had, I don't think we do, but say we had 50 million people in this country that claimed to be Christians. What if every one of them said, not shopping at Target? Do you think they would do that? They wouldn't do that, would they? But we don't live like, and I'm not saying, if you shop at Target, God bless you. I can't do it, but that's an illustration. Do you understand that? I'm not saying you're a bad Christian if you shop at Target. But when I go to Walmart, I wear a metal jacket. I went to Walmart, and I'm like, I need some underarm deodorant. It's like, it's locked up. It's locked up. I'm like, so I looked at it. It was $7. I looked across the thing, and this thing was $15, and it wasn't locked up. I'm thinking, what's going on in our society? But I'm thinking, that's good underarm deodorant right there. That whole thought I'm trying to get across to us, I'm not trying to beat it with a stick. I want us to get it. That is why the percentage rates for Christians to non-Christians are very close. In other words, if you look at the percentage of people in this world getting divorced and the percentage of people who claim to be Christians getting divorced, it's pretty much the same. If you look at the percentage of unsaved people who are addicted to pornography and are involved in pornography and Christians who are involved in pornography, it's pretty close. Why? We don't have a biblical worldview. We're being discipled by the world. We're just like the world. A Christian that is fully committed to God's word, no matter what it says, no matter how they feel, and no matter what the world says, will be radically different in their beliefs and lifestyle. And they'll be able to do it because they're in the word of God, and the word of God helps them to do that. And it'll be better. Because of the word, and I'll hasten here, because of the word, we can have more in this life. We have more wisdom. That's the ability to live God's truth. Thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Like I said, that's not IQ. But we have more wisdom. What does it matter how smart you are, how many degrees you have, where you live, what kind of car you have, where your mental acumen has got you, if your life is a raging disaster? You ever wonder why sometimes these people that we would consider wealthy and they're well off, that people I'd want to take their place, and they commit suicide? Or they take off, or their marriages are a wreck, and all the nonsense and all the drama is going on because they don't have God. You know, and by the way, pity us if we follow actresses and actors and athletes' beliefs. I'll be honest, LeBron James is a pretty good basketball player. But shut up what your views on life are. I could care less. Well, I have a platform and you're going to lose it. Why don't you win a couple more games? Okay? You know. Look, you for a living put a ball through a hoop. That's life-altering. And I know he built a school. Of course, the government paid for a majority of that. They didn't tell you that. He built a school. But to get up and give me your views on life. And maybe I'm harping here and I don't like the Golden State Warriors, but Steve Kerr makes me nauseous. Coach basketball and be quiet. Not everybody is dumb like you. By the way, sharp-dressed guy, he understands basketball and he has a high IQ, but because he doesn't have a biblical worldview, he doesn't see life right. And he's not telling me how to live. But we let people tell us that. And then you get to actors and actresses. Listen, do they have an IQ? A moral IQ? The things they say, it's like, really? And don't get me started on politicians on both sides of the aisle. So wisdom, I better get done here because I'm starting to get upset. Understanding. We have more understanding, the ability to see how truth relates to life. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Now, those of you in school here in college, maybe you don't, but this is the principle. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Because we think about God's word, when we look at life, we understand it better than someone who does not know God, because we see it from God's perspective. We don't see a situation from our emotions. I shouldn't have to hear that. No, that was unfair. No, we see it from God's perspective. So we have an understanding of what's going on. Let me give you, look, it's amazing how people who have an IQ, and maybe they have degrees, cannot see the simple things in life that a Christian can see. Anybody that is really honest has to admit that abortion is murder. You have to. But by the way, if you've had an abortion in your past, I'm not condemning you, you're saved now, we're over that. You look at the video. I think it was the Jewish guy, Ben Shapiro. He put a little video on there. Was it a little video of an abortion? That child was in pain. Anybody that had the courage or guts to watch that could not walk away and say that's not a life, regardless of what Hillary Clinton says or anybody else. But they fool themselves into it. By the way, do you know, I think they still do. If you have, if you raise cattle and the cattle's pregnant, they'll tax you on that. If you go to school and you're being taught we had someone who was going to one of these colleges, they were teaching them early child development, and they called it a baby, accidentally. I guess they didn't get the other thing going on. But we see natural things that we look at it like, that just, we get that. They don't get it. Why? They don't have a biblical worldview. Bible does say babies with child. So we willingly fly into it. And by the way, you know where these philosophies are going? They're going farther down the road of ridiculousness. When the Supreme Court allowed homosexual marriage, the dissenting vote was Judge Scalia? He wrote the opposite. And he, Robert, whoever it was. He said, the dangerous thing is this, is it's not going to stop with marriage. What happened immediately was that was done, transgenderism. Then they took it to another ridiculous extreme where you don't even have to, you just claim to be what one. I just feel, I'm a woman today. Now, let's take that to its ridiculous extreme, shall we? There's a man in Europe that is suing in the European courts for the right to change his birthday ahead 20 years. He's 69, and he says being 69 is hurting him on single on dating websites. No one wants to date him because he's 69. So he identifies with a 49-year-old. And he says, I'm in pretty good shape. The doctor said I have the body of a 49-year-old, so I'm going to identify as a 49-year-old. And they're actually going through the courts with this thing. Now, if I was a judge and he brought that in, I'm like, you're stupid, go. You're going to change your date. Where's it gonna end? I identify with a gecko. I'm an airplane. There's nothing, that is just as foolish as me standing here and saying I'm a girl. There's no difference. Except at least when I say I'm a girl, at least I'm in the same species. You know, I'm a 747. But that's when you start following the philosophies of the world, they start small, but once it gets in, it's worse. Anyhow, in our high schools, boys are now competing in athletics with the girls. And they're winning and setting records. There was one somewhere where the girl finished third. And on her, she just mentioned, I finished third, this, and she wasn't even criticizing it, and somebody on her Twitter replied this, yes, but he's a boy. And she said, yeah, it was hard to compete. And they started condemning her for saying that. He's a boy! Now, here's how, maybe I'm just really in a bad mood. Here's how hypocritical it was. You know what I want? I want an NBA player that couldn't make it to say, I'm a girl, I'm playing in the WNBA. I guarantee you something will be said then. See, they'll take their ridiculousness only so far. But anyhow, I don't know where I'm going with that. I just feel bad. Oh, yeah, here we go. The brutal fact of the matter is this. Give me a couple minutes, I'm done. The majority of Christians have a vast amounts of knowledge about things in this life that have no eternal significance and value. And we can go on and on for that. That is why we buy into these philosophies. It's not that we can't learn the things of the Word of God. It's that we won't. In other words, and I don't mind that. You know, you know all your favorite players, and you know your sports guys, and you know their stats. When I was growing up, the big number that everybody talked about, back when I was growing up 150 years ago, baseball was the big sport. And everybody knew the number 714. Babe Ruth's home run record that would never be broken. And then Henry Aaron broke it. But we all knew that number. We knew the stats. And boy, you'll know stats, but we won't know anything about the Bible. Be very careful. You know? We need to have the right kind of. Now, let's look at this positively. You ready? Here's the positive part. We don't have to be the smartest person in the world. Amen. Because last time I checked, we don't have a lot of those in the church. We're all just a bunch of average people. So if we're going to be wise in God's eyes, we don't have to know everything. You know what we need to know? We need to know God. Well, you know, and by the way, never, if you know the Word of God, and when you're around these intelligent people and they'll just throw stuff out there, never feel like you're, what's the word I'm looking for? You're second, inferior. You're not inferior. Check what's going on in their life. Okay? Check where they're getting their facts from. We don't have to be the richest person in the world. Now, I wish a lot more of you were, amen? We don't have to be the most educated person in this world. We don't have to be the most powerful person. We can live this life successfully by living for the Lord. And I think we'll stop there for now. Let's pray.